Great. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, and we thank you for your word that does not return void to you. Thank you that tonight our hearts is a good seedbed for your word. Lord, Holy Spirit, you are here to bring and enlighten and to reveal. And we thank you for the freedom we have to worship you like this. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Christ Jesus. You are the Son of the living God. And tonight we've not come as slaves, we've come as children. We've come as people that love you because you first loved us. And Lord, so use our hearts, make it soft to receive what you have. Because Lord, we can only boast in the cross tonight. There is nothing else, Lord. It's not our goodness. It's not where we've been. It's not what we've done. It's not what we've said, Lord. Even how many sermons we've preached, Lord. It's all about your grace and your life in us. Because Jesus, you are that life. And Lord, without you, we're nothing. We can do nothing and we are nothing. So tonight, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Say, here we are. Use us. Here we are. Send us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. We're going to show you a little video clip because the scripture that I'm going to start reading is right at the end of this video clip. Okay, this is sort of a little movie of 2 minutes. That happened, and right after that, we're going to jump into the scripture. So this woman was caught in adultery. John chapter 8, verse 10. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And then Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." And then Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and I know where I am going." I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. This is a profound moment where this woman that was brought, I always think like, where was the man? It takes two people for adultery. Have you thought about that? Okay. But so yes, just the woman. The guy's running around, or he was probably maybe even a Pharisee. I don't know. But the amazing thing is, here's this encounter, and then Jesus is sort of trapped in between these two questions. Because if he would say yes to the Pharisees, then they would sort of also, then would say he's not the Messiah. If he said no, she should not be stoned, then they said, well, he's false as well because he rejects Moses' law. And therefore, because the Messiah is not going to reject Moses' law. And yet Jesus comes and he says, okay, let's talk about you. Let's bring that place and bring this thing right back into your life. And then we see this profound moment where the people just turn away because nobody can say, I have no sin. Anybody here in this room that can say, I've never sinned or I don't sin, raise your hand. Okay, if you raised your hand, you just lied. Then you're a liar. I mean, so that makes us all equal. Did you know that? And so tonight we're not going to talk about sin, but we're going to talk about these profound words of Jesus. He comes to this woman. He releases grace to her. And then he says this thing that seems impossible. He says, okay, now that you've received my freedom, go and sin no more. Would Jesus tell somebody to do something that was impossible? Okay, it's not a trick question. It's just like, because everyone's staring, don't look at me, don't, I've got dinner. Jesus would not tell somebody to do something that was not possible for them to do. But on her own, she could not do that. And so now there's this whole challenge, because now these Pharisees and the Sadducees, they come and walk straight up to Jesus and they say, okay, your witness, what you're saying is not true. It's not the real thing. You're not the real deal. You're false. They just try to trap him, but now they come straight with the accusation. You're not really the Messiah. And then Jesus turns around and he looks at them and he does not try to defend himself. The most amazing thing. He says to him, do you know what? My witness is true. And it doesn't matter what you say, because there's one thing I know. Actually two. He says, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. I know my identity and I know my authority. And so many of us sitting here and coming through varsity and all that stuff, you know, all we think of is our past and we think of the negative stuff. But tonight I'm going to talk about our spiritual birthright and our spiritual inheritance. And it is so important that you and I realize that it starts right here with this woman where the adultery and all this stuff, and Jesus walks straight into our lives and he says, I'm going to give you the ability to sin no more. I'm going to give you the ability to live holy lives. I'm going to give you the ability to come into a place where you experience freedom, where you're not just forgiven of sin, but you can break the power of sin over your life. Where sin has got no more hold over your life. You know, when you're in the world and you don't know Jesus, you walk around, but you know you're actually a slave to sin. Say, a slave to sin. And the only witness that you bear is the fact that, hey, I'm going to just continue cycle after cycle. I'm going to fall back into that place. But I'm trusting God that tonight you're going to get a bit of a revelation as to your spiritual birthright, because that's what the devil is after, and that is what the world tries to con you out of. But when we understand that God is, we're born of God, and I love, there's so many scriptures that says, you know, whoever is born of God has overcome this world. Born of God, born of the Spirit. It's a spiritual birthright. Now, there are many people talking a lot of stuff, but we're gonna come to that. Are you still with me? Shake your neighbor and say, hey, what's your birthright? What's your spiritual birthright? Okay, so let's just quickly, I'm going to just give you some pointers. I'm not going to go into this, but when scripture talks about birthright, there's a couple of stuff you need to understand. It involved somebody's preeminence and authorities. Birthright is about your authority. It's about a spiritual position that you occupy. It's a spiritual place. It's something that happens in your life, okay? It's a position that you enter in because of sonship. And you enter into it primarily through baptism, okay? That's what Colossians 2 talks about. He says that we have identified with the death and the resurrection of Christ. That is like immersion, real baptism, okay? The biblical one. The one that you go under and you come up and you say, I identify with the death and the resurrection of Christ. And so there's this thing that we read in scripture, and we're going to look at some scriptures tonight that talks about the firstborn. You know, for God, especially in the Old Testament, there was a firstborn. And the firstborn received certain stuff. The firstborn could ask the father for a double portion. And if you were a firstborn in a family, then do you know what? You received a certain birthright when you were born as a baby. It automatically came to you. And you can read all this stuff. Jacob and Esau, the one selling his birthright for a cup of soup, and then eventually losing that. So this birthright was a massive thing that people knew about in scripture. And it was not because of a price somebody paid or because you did something. You just received it. You came into it by birth, by this place, by this authority. And then there's this big word, progenitorship. Okay, say that. Okay, you're right. Okay. It talks about this sort of lineage of Jesus and the fact that, you know, for God, if you would read the scriptures, and we don't have time to go into that, but God was very tense about, you know, when you read the gospels, he was the father of the father of the father of, and then you get all these names, and then you skip all these names. How many of you have read those names? How many of you have skipped those names? Okay. Everybody's just like, oh, skip this chapter, but because he was the son of this, you know? And then you think like, oh, boring, you know, getting to the scriptures. But it's almost like something that's lost to us as Christians, because do you know how important those names are? Many times when you read through that genealogy and those list of names, then you'll see there's one name that was actually skipped. Somebody that forsook their birthright, their firstborn birthright. It was always the firstborn son that would be mentioned. And so even to Jesus, Jesus' lineage was tracked, and for the Jews, it was very important to understand this thing of birthright and the fact that you could walk into something. And then many times it was with a double portion. You received a double portion of the second brother or the second sister, and these obviously ladies, you're not excluded. Because spiritually there's no Jew or Greek or slave or free or man or woman. Everybody is equal in Christ. Can you say that? I mean, obviously in marriage and stuff, there's function, there's order. God has got functional authority over our lives and all that stuff. Can all the ladies say amen? Can all the men say a woman? Okay, cool. Okay. So birthright was a concept, a very biblical concept. And it was a privilege. I want us to take us to Hebrews chapter 12. You know, after the whole faith chapter and a lot of stuff, it goes like this. It talks about the the new covenant that we have with Jesus. Birthright and covenant is words that are lost to the church, and especially the charismatic church. Because, you know, we just run from one emotion to another emotion, but for God, stuff like covenant is very important. To have covenant relationship with Him, covenant like marriage. Certain stuff is very, very important to God. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, this is the covenant, this is the new covenant through Jesus that we've come to. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. And then it goes on and it talks a lot about this stuff of this covenant. But it's right in the middle. It says, we're the church of the firstborn. It says about Jesus that He was the second Adam. He was the firstborn of many. And the reason why you and I are sitting here because of a spiritual birthright. The moment when you say yes to Jesus, it's not just about salvation. It's not just about going to heaven. There's something you receive. There's something you enter into. There's a position that you enter into that the people out there, and especially the spiritual realm, recognizes. Let me tell you a story. I've told the story many times, but it challenged me. It changed my life completely. There was a lady I knew that studied with us, and she was actually at school, Caledon. Anybody here from Caledon? The greatest city of Caledon. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Two people, okay? I grew up in Caledon, you know? Now, Caledon is one of those places, those small places, that if somebody walked on the pavement and just had a little bit of a trip like that, then eventually the story goes, 2 days later, somebody is in the ICU, had 20 operations, half dead, and the angels came to rescue them. Anybody from any small places here? You know what I'm talking about. Other people, just pretend, okay? Just pretend you know what I'm talking about. But, you know, this lady was actually with me in primary school, and she got involved in the wrong stuff. She got involved in rebellion. She was very rebellious against her parents. And eventually she got involved in witchcraft and Satanism. And so while she was first year here, I won't mention the res, she started to do her rituals and all that stuff and got deeper and deeper into this stuff. Eventually she lost her mind. In the first year, she was completely out of it, you know. Then she went to Groendakkies, Green Roofs, okay. For the Western Cape people, you know, but it's a place out there where people, it's like people lose their marbles. All the pigs are not in the little farky place. So what do you say that for English? Okay? Speckenham and renown, it's running all over the place, but it's like they've lost. What do you say for that in English? She lost her marbles. Is that the right word? I like the pigs more. Alifarkas, Neopiokini. Okay, but in any case, so she completely lost it, you know, and it was quite tense because lots of people started to pray for, but there were two nurses in Green Roofs, this habitation place where all the farkis, they try to get all the farkis together, you know, and it's a scary place. I've been in there a couple of times, not because of myself, so don't worry, just because of, you know, just because of ministering to people. And it's amazing, most of those people have had a spiritual experience or they believe they're Jesus. You know, that's why I just refer people to Christian psychologists and Christian psychiatrists that believe that you've got a spirit. Because most people in the world don't believe you've got a spirit. So they try to deal with the physical and the emotional, but they never deal with the spiritual. And it's always a spiritual issue first. Can somebody say amen? So these nurses started to pray for her, and eventually she got saved. And she, all the farkis came back together again. All the pigs came running back together and, whoosh, you know, it was in place. And then through a series of deliverance, God delivered her. She came out 3 or 4 years later. And then one day I met up with her and she told me a story. She said to me, while she was in Satanism, do you know the most amazing stuff happened walking here on campus? She would walk down Victoria Lane, and as she would walk on the one side, she would actually throw curses and speak stuff over people and just enjoy that. Because, you know, through fear and lots of stuff, that's how the world operates. But she said there was one group of people that she could never curse. And she was very afraid of them. She said it was called the spirit-filled Christians. Because as she walked down the road, she would see one of them coming. She would always walk to the other side. And then she'll just walk by quickly because she said, the light that they were portraying was so heavy that it hurt her. And her spirit was like tense. And she could not curse them. She was always afraid. And she said, but it always puzzled her because they never knew what they had. They looked defeated. And that was the end of the conversation. And I was thinking for months about that. Because in this place of your birthright and Jesus talking to this woman of sinning no more and going, then he makes this statement right in the middle. He says, I am the light of the world. In me there is no darkness. And then they attack him on his witness. They say, you're not right, you're not right. And he says, don't worry, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. Profound statement that Jesus made. He says, I am the light of the world. If we would switch off all these lights, close everything, suddenly there will be darkness. But just with one push of a button and the light comes on, do you know what happens? The darkness flees. It's gone. Because light and darkness cannot mix. The only problem is if Christians don't realize what we begin to do, sometimes we've got a mixture in our lives. We allow through stuff and open doors and things like that. We allow the devil to have access to our lives and then we forsake our spiritual birthright. We leave our inheritance. So, let's run on. Birthright. First thing is identity in Christ. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave. A slave to what? A slave to this world. A slave to sin. Slave to your fears. Slave to your failures. But a son and then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God's. So it says, when you didn't know God, you're actually serving somebody. You're always going to serve somebody. You're either going to serve the world, or you're going to serve God, or you're going to serve yourself. You're going to be the attraction of your worship. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, I love this, how he writes this. He says, let me just rephrase here. It's not about you knowing God, it's about God knowing you. Because you and I are not the center of this relationship. And now he fights with the Galatians and he says, how is it that you turn again to the weak and the beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? He says, why do you go back to the piggies? Why do you always go back to that place? And why do you, and the Galatians just wanted to circumcise the Gentiles and they wanted to do a lot of rules and regulations. He says, hey, I'm fighting with you because your inheritance is much bigger. You're not a slave. And now what you always go to because you're a human, you run back to slavery. You try to go there, but you need a revelation of where you are, what your inheritance is, the sonship that you have with God. Are you still with me? Thank you for your enthusiasm, especially some three people over here. Okay, listen to this. In Ephesians 1 verse 19, I love the Amplified. It talks about the authority that we have in Christ or that belongs to Christ. It says, what is the immeasurable and unlimited and unsurpassing greatness of his power? Jesus is powerful, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's all-knowing. He's like we sang tonight, he's sovereign. He's much greater than what anything that could ever come against you. That's who he is. He rules, he reigns, and he's in control. And the most amazing thing is you and I are serving that Jesus. We're not serving a Jesus of our own making or a false thing, and that's why in Matthew 28, that scripture on the video, it says, behold. I like that word, behold. Behold, says, be is here and hold on to your seats. Behold, okay, when the word says behold, it says be, hold on to your seats. Okay, behold, all authority has been given to me in the heavens and on the earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. It's not something we do in our own strength. We come in that authority. Because we've realized we've got a spiritual birthright, a spiritual nature. We are spirit beings. We're not trying to make it through this world. The moment when you get born again, something happens in your spirit. You receive something from God, God's imprint into your spirit. Hallelujah. That was a good place to say amen. Okay. So that birthright is going to be challenged. You know, many years ago, the Lord told me, he said to me, you know, I've got a spiritual inheritance or a spiritual legacy that I must pick up, you know, because my great-grandfather used to preach the gospel. He was an evangelist. He went from farm to farm. Every weekend after he's worked as a farmer, he would go from farm to farm and he would preach the gospel. His name was Yusia Sirfas Leroux. That's my names as well. Okay? Good names, eh? Why are you frowning like that? Okay? It's like real names. Joshua, Josias. Okay. Okay, so he followed God, and now I had the opportunity, even spiritually, to partake of a legacy that he left. So I went to the farm and I started to realize, God, I need to pick up that legacy. Because do you know what? My great, 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 great grandfathers were from the French Huguenots, and they came from Europe. They fled from Europe because they wanted to preserve the gospel. They came here to preach the gospel to Africa. And I say, God, there's something of a legacy that I can pick up. Even if it's jumped a couple of generations, do you know what? There's a spiritual inheritance that I must walk in. And the Lord started to reveal to me, and I said, okay, God, that's it. I want to preach the gospel. Because I'm not going to let it jump another generation. God would many times come to you. I remember a story where God says he came to Reinhard Bonnke, and Reinhard Bonnke was sleeping, and I think it was in India. And the Lord came to him in a dream and said to him, Reinhard, go back to Africa. Go and preach the gospel now. And then he said, but Lord, tomorrow I still got an outreach in India. Just give me one more day and I'll go back, you know. And then the Lord says, Reinhard, you're not my first choice. You're my third. But you know what? I'll find somebody else. And then he turned away and Jesus walked out of the room. And Reinhard said he jumped up from the bed and he went to tackle Jesus. He says, Jesus, no, you don't need to find a fourth. Here's your third. You know, it was like a German style. Here's your third, you know. Good, from India. You know, Germans, any Germans in the house? Okay, just look from here, okay. But that's, you know, we think that through our lives, listen to me very carefully, we think that you're doing God a favor by being a Christian. I think sometimes, oh, God, you know, I'm doing something for you. But God does not need you. And he does not need me, sir. Don't fool yourself. God is sovereign. He wants to use you. He wants to use me, but we're not doing God any favor. If this church would disappear tomorrow, do you know what? The kingdom will go on. God doesn't need shofar. Jesus has finished the work. So we must just make a little bit of a shift. Because spiritual pride is one of the worst stuff. When you think that you have arrived, sir. When you think that, oh, I don't need to belong to a small group. Do you know what? Because I've grown past that. Do you know what I sometimes do? Sometimes people come from another place and then they come walk straight up to me and says, I'm the prophet. I'm a prophet. God sent me here to prophesy to everybody. Can I have an opportunity to speak to your students? I say, oh, wonderful. Wonderful. But you know what? Next week, Sunday, 5:00. No, let's make it 4:00. Will you come and help to pack the chairs for an hour? And then after that, we can talk about you speaking to the students. Do you know 99.9% of those people never come back? Because they've arrived. Who am you? Who are you to tell me that I must pack chairs? Well, you're going to pack chairs in heaven if you make it there, sir. Oh, that's just sometimes what I think, but hallelujah, you know? You know, a guy came to me this week and said to me, do you know there's a guy that's here in Cape Town and he's prophesying that on the 16th of July this year, the whole church is going to be debt free. That's what he prophesied. I said to him, do you know what you need to do? On the 17th of July, you go back to that church. And then you ask everybody in that church. You ask them, are you debt free? Are you debt free? Are you debt free? If you find one in that church that's not debt free, then what you do is you go back, you find the email address of that prophet, and you say to that prophet, you are a false prophet. Because we've lost the fear of God. We would trade our birthright for so many stuff. While God says, I'm moving. Do you want to be part of what he's doing? Listen to this. An inheritance is something that you obtain or receive as your own. It's not a prosperity thing, but it's a gift that you receive, an inheritance. When somebody has died, when you get born, you get a birthright. When somebody else dies, they leave you an inheritance. And that's what happened through Jesus' life. So we don't just talk about a birthright, we talk about an inheritance. Listen to this in Ephesians 1 verse 11 to 12. Are you still with me? I'm going to pick up some speed. I'm just busy with the introduction, so hang on to your seats. Okay, are you all right? Okay. This is a good scripture. Focus now, focus now. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That's Jesus. That he who first trusted in Christ should also be to the praise of his glory. Whoa. You've received a spiritual inheritance. It said that first scripture says that you're not just a son, but you're an heir. You're an heir of God. It's got nothing to do with your hair. It's in the Afrikaans people. It's an heir. It's an erfgenaam. Okay? Erfgenaam. That ability to receive something spiritually. So God says, when you enter into the kingdom, when you enter into giving your life to Christ, lots of stuff begins to change. Lots of things that you have not just received, but that you must walk in, that you must say yes to my birthright, because you can sell your birthright. You can let go of it, or maybe you can just be ignorant of that, or of your inheritance, your spiritual inheritance, and especially our spiritual inheritance. So when I drive through this campus, do you know what I pray all the time? I say, Lord, I want this campus. This campus must know you. Lord, I don't want a fancy car, and I don't want a fancy bank account. In any case, those banks just don't, you know, they take too much of your money. But in any case, so, I want souls and people that are discipled that knows you on this campus. Lord, as part of my inheritance, do you know what, Lord? I want people on every street corner, in every race, in every place to worship you. That when we drive past, people just lift up holy hands and they're on their knees praising God. Because you know what a privilege we have just to share the gospel freely? I've told this story many times, but I will tell it again. Meeting some China pastors that came out a couple of years ago. Johannesburg International Airport. Busy people flying. So I'm emailing these people that email the other people that email the other people that email the other people that finally get to these pastors that have come for a month to South Africa. So I fly up to Joburg and I'm going to see them for 20 minutes because they must be out again and all that stuff. And so I asked the guy who's organizing it, I say, how on earth will I know who these people are? You know, because, you know, there are many Chinese and Koreans. Everybody looks like this. Yeah. Beautiful, you know. They walking past that. So how am I going to know that? So he said, don't worry, you will know them. So I'm standing there, international. They must fly. I knew about maybe three places that they must fly out from. So I'm standing there. The next moment, I'm just praying. I'm saying, God, the time is coming. You know, these guys must go. They must fly and all that stuff. The next moment, right from the corner there, a couple of Chinese people come with their Jesus flags. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just like they sing short, short. It's not like reached out. It's like, hallelujah, just like, you know. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you just see the flags because they're quite short. So you just see flags coming up. And then you see people dispersing all over because people think, oh, this is not the tolerant thing to do. We can't, you know, but then they come right there. And so I'm just standing there. I'm just waving. I said, that's my people. that's them, you know. So eventually we get there and I say, look here, can't we just go up? There's a nice restaurant up there where we can worship God or where we can just talk and all that stuff. He says, no, says this pastor. He says, we worship the Lord right here. Right here. Because you have the freedom to worship God any place. We don't have the freedom to even say the name of Jesus publicly. He said, you know what? We had a prayer service right there in the middle of International Airport. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus. And it's great because everybody just gives way. All the people pretend you're not there, you know? just singing hallelujah, you know. And then they pray for me and I pray for them. And then they pray for me and I pray for them. And then I, you know, and then we're just like, Jesus, Jesus, oh. And they've got a tambourine and they sing so false, but hallelujah, you know. Hallelujah is at least one word that's general in all the languages. Can you say hallelujah? Okay. You're going to say that word a lot. You better practice it here, you know. Hallelujah. So, I'm not going to go into all of this stuff. But there's certain stuff we inherit. The kingdom, nations, eternity, the promises of God, and then a legacy, a spiritual legacy. So I'm going to just run through them very quickly. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. See, many people are changing the gospel, but the scripture is still the same. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, people that sleep around before they get married. People that sleep around before they get married, it's called the fornicator. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, greedy people, nor drunkards, nor revilers, blasphemers, no extortioners, if you're a boss and you extortion your people, is that the right word? But in any case, will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. See, when you come under the blood of Jesus, you're not just washed. You are sanctified, you are set apart. And then the last word there is you are justified. You must walk in that. That's what happens when we come to Christ. Now I want to say this and I want to say it with lots of respect. Okay? Guys and ladies, this is not putting the law on you. But we cannot dress like the world dresses. What difference is there between Christians and non-Christians that walk around? I don't know, and some of the guys must say amen, yeah. But ladies, if you walk here on campus, you just have to look up to the hills and the mountains all the time. So I look up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help cometh from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Because some people, some ladies dress like there's no mystery. There's no, everything is revealed. Come on. Then people come with that same attitude into church with little things. Yeah. We don't want stuff hanging out, ladies. We don't want to see stuff. Guys, the guys these days, you know, they wear pink shorts. And then it comes up here and it's all over. And you know, I think like, you might as well worn it tight. But I don't want to see your bum, guy. Now, you're just the law. You don't understand grace. Now, I understand holiness and sanctification. We cannot live like the world, people. And when you come to church and when you walk down there, you don't need to obviously now be dressed to there and dressed to here, ladies. But at least dressed like to here and dressed to here, okay? Just meet halfway, amen? Cool. I want to start a blanket ministry on campus. In the middle of summer. The Lord cover thy nakedness. Go back to the Garden of Eden. I saw you walking naked around in the garden. So we must bring back the fig leaves. Amen? Cover. Okay? But I'm not making a joke. I'm actually serious. Because the devil cons us. And especially for you as young people, for us as young people, he cons us to reveal everything. Sleep around, have sex with lots of people, walk around, but it's designed for one thing. It's designed to walk outside of covenant or outside of the promises of God so that you can never walk into your spiritual inheritance. Because the problem is with that porno guy is one day when, with that porno that you watch guy, is one day when you get into bed, then you cannot fulfill your own wife because there's 400 other girls with you in that bed. So, oh, masturbation does not become a hobby. It becomes a matter of life and death for your marriage. It becomes a matter of life and death for sanctifying yourself. Because you understand, I've got an inheritance. I've got a birthright. And what I do in this life will not just reflect in eternity when I stand before God, but people after me and my children's children will either receive a spiritual inheritance or they will suffer because of the curse that I've brought through profanity, sleeping around, and all of that stuff. I'm not talking about the law, I'm just talking about life. See, Jesus didn't stone the woman, but he said to her, go and sin no more. Because once you have living waters and you've tasted of that living waters, you begin to walk into the power of sinning no more. Because you realize the power of sin is broken. The hold of sin over my life. So I don't need to just reveal myself to everybody because I want some attention. I reveal myself in worship to God. I'm open to worship Him. Why? Because there's an inheritance. There's something He's placed inside of me. He has raised me up to be a part of a generation that live holy, washed, sanctified, justified lives. So that the whole world says, hey, what's different about this guy? What's different about her? Because you've tasted of the goodness of God. Can somebody say amen in this place? It says you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. I think we must start a new clothing range. Amen? I said to Linka the other day, because it is a problem. My daughter is now first year in high school, and do you know what? I am dreaming about the shotgun I am going to buy. I've got a panga, I've got an axe, I've got everything. I've got an arrow, but I will only feel fulfilled when I have a shotgun. The other day there was this little guy coming along with his father, walking and coming to drop my girl at the house after an evening of socializing and all of that stuff. I forgot to greet the father. I walked straight up to him and said, what's your name? And then he took a step back. I took a step to the front. And I thought, I'm going to intimidate you. Because in this house, there's some rules. So I'm going to look you in the eyes, and we're going to meet some business. Come close to my girl, you come close to the barrel. And I'm pretty serious. I'm just saying that for some first years that may think you can just come around to my house. I will first slam you with the Bible and then I will shoot you and then I will trust God to raise you from the dead 3 days later. Okay. But you know why we live in this generation? Because we feel unprotected. We feel, ladies especially, you feel unprotected because your dad never said that over your life. Never said, hey, girl, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to protect you. So now we live, walk through this life vulnerable, ashamed, just opening up everything so that anybody that just gives us a little bit of attention will sell our bodies, will sell our soul. But it's so empty, the inheritance that God has given us. You've received an inheritance. Don't spoil it. Don't be like the prodigal son that says, I want my inheritance. I want my inheritance now. And then you go off to the pigs. There's some prodigal sons and daughters here tonight that must come back. You've been spoiling your inheritance. But you know, that's so amazing about God. 70 times 7. Times 7 times 7 times 7. Every time you come back, he says, I'm going to give you that ring. I'm going to give you that identity. I'm going to give you that robe. I'm going to give you that shoes, that authority. I'm going to place you back into your birthright and your inheritance. And then we're going to have a fatted calf. And we're going to celebrate. See, another thing God gives us is the nations. He says, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Matthew 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We inherit eternity. Matthew 19:29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. There's no cost too big. Sometimes I think, Lord, it's tough to be a Christian. Lord, look at how the world is going on, but they're spoiling the inheritance. I'm going to tell you a tough story. There was a pastor that I knew that, you know what? He was called to minister at a church and live in this church, and then he started to minister and all that stuff. And 20 years later, he walked away. Him and his wife, they walked away. Because they got offended and they just like, they really ministered hard, but then they walked away from God's inheritance over their lives. And then, do you know what happened in the next couple of weeks? They went to sell property, and within 3 or 4 weeks, they made the most amazing business. They pocketed money like you won't believe it. I was standing there and I was thinking, Lord, what is happening here? It seems like you are now blessing these people because they have put their hand to the plow and then they took off their hand and they walked away. And then God said to me something that I will never forget in my life. He said, that pastor is receiving his eternal reward. I'm paying him out on earth. Because one day he will not be able to stand in front of me and say, oh, you still owe me for all those years that I served you. God is no man's debtor. See, I don't want my eternal reward here on earth. But there's also a hundredfold reward. Inherit eternal life. Therefore, he says, when you put your hand to the plow and you look back and you walk away, then scripture says you cannot be my disciple. Why? Because God understands the promises. He understands the eternity stuff. Because your life is but a little vapor in relation to a massive wind that's blowing when it comes to eternity. What you do here will determine what you're going to do for millions and millions and millions and millions and billions of years. But we live as if we're stuck here. The promises of God, Hebrews 6 verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. He says, hey, you need to learn from some other people that has run the race. Imitate them. Do as they say. That's why we belong to a small group. And that's why we come to church every Sunday. That's why we get washed by the word. That's why we stick in there. Not because we're religious, but because we understand. I want to fulfill the promises. I want to see the promises by faith. But these promises God gives me for my life, but also for generations to come. Because when God speaks to you, when he speaks to me, when God does something in your life, David, do you know what? He does it because he's got 3 or 4 generations in mind that will come after you. Whatever he does in your life will run through generations to come. But we've become an individualistic consumer society. We want it and we want it now. But God is not so much interested in your life. He's interested in your children's children's life. So Pinar, when you stand up, and Pete, when you stand up and say, I'm going to be a godly man. I'm going to preserve my life. I am not going to do these lustful stuff. I'm going to do it God's way. And I'm going to live in holiness. And even if it costs me and I don't see the rewards in this life, do you know what? My children's children will benefit from the promises of God because I live the godly life. I'm standing here because a great-grandfather followed God. It's as simple as that. I'm not special. I just say, thank you, God. There's one man that stood up. Are you with me? And then the last thing is leaving a legacy in the people's lives by discipling people. Do you know you can do a lot of things and go to heaven and have promises and all that stuff, but it says here, that part that I read about imitate people, the scriptures just before that, it says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. You touch something in God's heart when you realize that I'm not here for myself. I'm here to see the kingdom of God come, and I'm here to minister to other people. That grace, that birthright, the spiritual birthright, when I walk into somebody else's life, I can help them to taste something of Jesus. Because you will go where the church cannot go. Because you are the church. The church is the relationship you have with God and the relationship we have with each other. But you know, so many of us, we squander. We just, come at the end of your life. And I trust there's not one of you that will regret 30 years from now what your life has amounted to. Because grace simply is not a ticket to sin. Grace is an empowerment to do the will of God. That's what Jesus said to this woman. Hey, you should have been judged. You should have been dead. You should have been, but you know what? Look me in the eyes. Go and sin no more. There's grace for you to do. I can just imagine this woman that was just thinking about death and dying, encountering this Jesus. Say, not just has he forgiven me right now, not just as he, those people walked away and he set me free for myself, but suddenly I've got the ability to conquer. Suddenly I've got the ability to walk into the fullness of God. Suddenly I've got the ability to say, God, also as a church, we have an inheritance. We have a birthright. When we come together, there's enough people in this room that if we come into agreement, into synergy concerning the will of God for this campus will be changed in at least less than 3 months. This whole campus can know the Lord. Amen? Hey? So what are you asking God for? You're asking God for your campus? Are you asking God for your school? Are you asking God for your workplace? Or are you just dreaming about yourself? And you don't realize you have a birthright. There's a redemptive promise for you and for me, but more than that, for us, because we are the church of the firstborn. I say, God, give me a double portion. Give me a double portion. Lord, give me a triple portion. Lord, give me 4 portions of souls. Not money, not fancy cars, not a fancy job, not, Lord, if you give that to me, that is a vehicle for me to get to people, to minister to them, yes. I'm not going to live like this. Keep everything together. Oh, gather everything you can. It's my Bible. Get behind me, Satan. Too many people are so focused on what Satan is doing. Instead of saying, God, there's a birthright, there's something you want me to enter into. Some of you must learn what is the giftings on your life. Come to the school of the supernatural and come and learn just the basics. And say, devil, I'm gonna stop listening to your lies and your fears and always telling me I can't do anything. Because God, I've got one revelation. Oh. Jesus comes soon. Jesus comes soon. I don't read in scripture that Jesus is coming back to a defeated bride. He's coming to one who's pure, holy, has made herself ready. And she's just wide open before him. She's not been into prostitution with the world. Because there's another bride that scripture talks about. It does not talk about Islam or any other religion. It talks about the true bride and the false bride. The true bride and the false bride. But I want to be part of that bride that awaits his return. That says, Maranatha. Maranatha. Our Lord Jesus, come today. Will you stand with me as we're going to pray? Because the service is about to start. Close the doors. You see, the guy is here, but he just had such a great testimony where I heard this week that somebody came to the front last week Sunday, and he just stood here, and somebody just walked by and just anointed him. And then suddenly he was healed of his asthma for many years. Nobody even prayed for him. Yeah? Praise God. He said, when I read scripture, everything I read in scripture, I want it. I want to walk on water. I will send you the video. So I practice every day when I go to the bath. Jesus, maybe today. And my faith isn't there yet, but it's going to happen before I die. Because I've read it in scripture. When I read through this book and I begin to say, Jesus, what have you promised me? The nations as my inheritance. Then I get on the plane. Go to India and I say, God, there's 1 billion people here. I feel so insignificant. In India, I felt like I'm going to die many times. I felt like the world was falling out of my bottom. That's a joke. You can laugh, okay? But it's really happened like that. But yeah, then every time for 12 or 14 times I've gone back to India, and I'm going twice this year again to India and Nepal, because do you know what? In India and China, 1/3 of the world is living. So I've not seen the world until I've gone to India. India. I don't know what you're saying, eh? But when I walk into India, I say, Jesus, you died for this 1 billion people living here. Lord, when I look to the natural, it looks so intense. When I walk here on campus, then suddenly I just see guys drinking and going ballistic and all that stuff. And then I think, oh, I say, God, you've given me a birthright. You've given us a birthright, a spiritual inheritance. Not just spiritually am I blessed, but God, I want every other person in this place to know it, and to know you, and the power of your resurrection, and the fellowship of your sufferings, not being conformed to this world, but being conformed to the image of your death. And then I embrace the word, and I embrace every opportunity to equip myself. I say, God, I'm growing because I'm not there yet, but you know what? It's not about performance. It's about just simply coming back to the Father's arms where he says, come, I'm going to put that robe on you and I'm going to put that ring on you because you've been running away. I want to say it with lots of respect again. You're not that important to God that Jesus is going to come back to the cross again to show you how much he loves you. You're not that important. He died once for all. You have to come to the cross, sir. You have to come to bow your knee to say, yes, God. The prodigal son has to return. The father does not go to the pigs. You have to come out from where you are. You have to return and say, I want my inheritance, even if I can just be a slave in the father's house. But you see, some of us are playing a bit of a game. And the Lord wants to send you to the nations. Do you know that this campus has been made to raise up leaders to go to the nations? That's our birthright. Stellenbosch University. I don't care what other people say. I don't care what they try to do. This is why God called this campus together. It's to raise up leaders and to send them into all the nations of the world. There's a missionary redemptive purpose for this campus. And you're part of that. But you know, God will wait another 20 years until somebody says, here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. I don't want to walk away from that. See, those guys of faith in the scriptures says they saw the promise afar off and then they took ownership of it. And then they started to walk in it. Even if it didn't manifest naturally. Because they could see. They could see. They could see. They saw what Jesus saw. They saw what the Father saw. But it's time that we take our spiritual pride and all the fancy jackets we put on. And you say, God, I throw them at your feet. All the stuff that wants to make me significant or successful. I want to leave a spiritual legacy. Jesus says, then when you go into a town, you find a house there, you've got the ability to leave your peace there. Find the man of peace. You've got the ability to release a spiritual blessing, part of that birthright that you've received, part of that inheritance. He says, but if you go into that house and that person doesn't celebrate you, then just say, oh, no, sorry. And then you go around from house to house and until you find a man, a woman, that understand that God is not here for a game. He's not here to bless us. That is secondary to why Jesus has died. It's not just to take us to heaven. Jesus stood up and said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. In me there is no darkness. For some of us here tonight, sin still lord over your life. Sin is the Lord. And you know what? You need to get baptized. Quickly. You need to get baptized to identify with the death and the resurrection of Christ. That's where you start. Baptism, immersion. That's where we start. No. But my church, this is my... No. It's not about your church. What does the Bible say? Not about what Shofar says. What does the Bible say? Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. And you shall inherit eternal life. Inheritance. You're going to do it God's way? Or are you going to just say, no, my traditions is stronger. So there's some people here tonight that must bow the knee to Jesus. You're coming to Jesus for the first time. Were you that prodigal son or that prodigal daughter that must come back to him and say, God, I've squandered. I've walked away. I've run away, Lord. I've messed up. But Lord, I want to be washed again. I want to be consecrated again, sanctified, set apart for you. And then justified, walk in a place of righteousness before you. It's always wash, sanctify, justify. Wash, sanctify, justify. So if that's you tonight, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand or all that stuff. You know that I'm talking to you tonight. I want you to be serious with God because it's His invitation. It's not me. He's not going to come to your chair. You need to make a strong confession that Jesus is enough for you. You're a backslider. You've walked away from your first love. Or you've never committed your life to Christ. Where you got born again. Where you've got a spiritual DNA. I want you to step out from where you are and come and join me in front here on this side. Quickly, I want you to come. Because you know that God is talking to you. He's been speaking to you all night. And you're going through all the excuses right now. No. This is a bit of pressure. Huh? Come. I want you to come. God is speaking to you. I want you to come. If you're a backslider, I want you to come and kneel or come and sit here in front. Because we're going to just surrender our lives to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to come. Quickly. Because He wants to wash you clean. He wants to wash you clean. I want you to come. Just come and stand right here on the red line. Won't you just come a bit to the front? There's lots of people still coming. And we're doing serious business here with God tonight. This is about eternity. This is about coming to Jesus. And we say, yes, God, I realize I don't have that spiritual DNA. I don't have that spiritual freedom. If you've come to the front, I want you to come and stand right here in front because we want to know who you are. Stand a bit on the red line if you've come to the front because you're special to God. Do you know how powerful this is when we confess? When we say to Jesus, Jesus, I don't care what the people say. Jesus, I want to walk in that inheritance. I want to walk in that birthright. Lord, I want to be a spiritual being that follows you for the way that you've made me. If you need to come, I want you to come. There's some backsliders here. You're going through a massive, massive challenge in your heart. I want you to come. Just quickly, while every believer is praying and every zone leader and small group leader has come to the front already to come and minister to people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. I want us all to just to pray. We're going to just wait for a moment. because we can't do this without the Holy Spirit's conviction and true repentance coming. When we see, Lord, I need to step from the throne of my life. God, I thank you. If you've come for that prayer, I want you to stand right in front. Just file your way by. I want you to come right to the front. If you want to pray that prayer, there's some more people coming. I want you to come. Just walk quickly. If you're a bit shy, take somebody's hand and say, I can't go on like this. If you're standing at the back, I want you to come right. I want you to stand in front because this is a serious business. We're not going to pray these little prayers later, all that stuff. This is about God's invitation to come and say to you, hey, I'm making all things new. I'm giving you a new life. I'm giving you a new heart. You can have that freedom. Those yokes that you've been carrying, God is removing them. Burdens and stuff. And the desires in your heart, He's going to fulfill it. He's placed certain stuff inside of you that the devil and the world has tried to crush by making you a slave to sin. And tonight He's saying, no, it stops. I make all things new. I want people to pray at the back. Just close your eyes and I want you to pray. Cool. We're going to just do some spiritual warfare. If you're a Christian, then it's time that you enter into that spiritual authority that God has given you by praying. And just saying, God, tonight, Lord, we want yokes to be broken and we want your light to shine. We want no darkness. Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you. Right now, I want us to stretch out our hands as we just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for that freedom. We thank you for a freedom to come to you. We thank you for a freedom to return back to you. We thank you for a freedom of repentance. Thank you for a freedom of your release in people's lives tonight, God. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for freedom. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We're going to just pray a prayer now together, a prayer of surrender. For some of you have been bound by the world and by the things of this world, but He's going to set you free tonight. So I want you to quickly, I want you just to close your eyes and I want you to pray after me. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, tonight I confess your lordship over my life. Tonight, I repent and turn back to you. God, I'm sorry that I've done things my own way. I've been in control of my life. And I've sinned against you, Jesus. Against your love. And against your death. And against your resurrection. But tonight, Lord, I turn back to you. I turn back from my old ways. Lord, come and wash me clean by your blood. Wash me clean by your life. And let your light shine in me, that there is no place for darkness. Tonight, I say yes to your relationship. I thank you that you know me. And from this moment on, I'm known by you. I say yes, Lord, to eternal life, to hearing your voice, to a godly relationship. Tonight, Lord, wash me, sanctify me, and show me what it means to be justified, to live a right relationship with you. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers that I've been placed in tonight. I'm no longer a slave. No longer a slave. No longer a slave. But a child of God, and therefore an heir of God through Jesus Christ. I just saw Jesus walking through us in the front, and I just saw him just taking yokes of people. Just let him do that right now. There's fears, there's stuff. He's delivering people right now. He's delivering people right now. Just allow him to take those yokes off you. We're going to partake of communion tonight. And there's some of you that have been entrapped. You're a slave to sin. You love Jesus. You've been following Him. You read your Bible. And you pray. But it seems like sin has a hold over you. Because every time you just want to step out, then the devil comes against you. And then you fall back into those old habits and those old patterns. And then you just like believe the lies. And you're sitting with the pigs and you're out there with the pigs and then you just think like, oh my khuna, I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. What a lie. Jesus died so that you not just have eternal life, but you have freedom. If you've been trapped and you are trapped And there's cycles of your life that just come over and over. And when I say go and sin no more, you just think it's impossible. It is impossible. It's possible in certain areas, but there's certain areas of my life that I'm never going to get the victory over. Then this message is for you tonight. Because you must come and bow the knee to Jesus. You must come like that woman caught in adultery, realizing that you can't get out of it until Jesus come and stand before you, takes the stone, throws it on the ground, looks you in the eye and say, I'm going to use you. Go and sin no more. There's cycles over your life and you know that you can't go on. Because every time when that cycle manifests again, do you know what it does? You just drift a little bit further and a little bit further. And then every time the devil cons you, then you fall for that lie and you just go on. Fears in your life. Fears in your life. There's somebody here, a lady, your dad committed suicide many years ago. And you just can't get out of that heaviness. The questions, the stuff. There's a guy here. I want that lady to just come to the front. I want to pray for you specifically tonight. Because God is going to be your dad. There's a guy here that have been exposed to stuff. Not just one, a couple of you. When you were very young, before the age of 7, and certain stuff happened to you that formed your identity, and it's like all just in your subconscious. It just comes out every time. And there's also one of you that's very intensely angry. Last year, around about November, you took a fist and you hit it through the door. And you got a shock of your life after what you're capable of. And the Lord says, I want that anger. I want that thing in your heart. You're so afraid to give it to Him. Where's that guy? I want to pray for you tonight. You're going to give that anger to God. That guy that hit the door, I want you to come quickly. Just come and stand here. We're going to just pray. We're going to just say, Lord, we receive this son. We receive this daughter. That lady and that guy, I want you to come. I want you to come and stand quickly. I don't want to put you on the spot. I want you to come quickly. Come and stand right here. If you are trapped in cycles of sin, I want you to come out to the front. I want you to come and stand on my right-hand side. I want you to walk to that side. We're going to give you communion. And we're going to come around the blood of Jesus. We're going to come around the body of Christ. So quickly, we're going to keep these people here. So while we're doing that, if you're coming out, I want you to come and kneel here before Jesus. If you're trapped in those cycles of sin, I want you to quickly just turn to people around you. At the back of you, we're going to just pray right here. Because we want everybody to partake of communion. But if you're here tonight and there's just cycle upon cycle of sin, and you know that, you know, that which Jesus died for, it seems like it doesn't work in your life, then tonight, He's going to set you free. But we're going to need business with Him. Can the communion people just come out quickly? I want us to start with these people. I know we're going a bit longer, but this is a moment where everybody, we're going to say to God, God, we're serious. I want everybody being prayed for in front of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for opening up the prison doors tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for setting people free. Let the captives go. If you're sitting at the back or standing at the back, we're going to just take the communion elements and just go around as we're going to just give out to people. I know it's holy chaos. I don't want people, facilitators in front, I don't want you to pray right now. All the facilitators on this side, on my right-hand side, I don't want you to pray. Don't want you to pray yet. Don't pray. Don't pray yet. I want people to first partake of communion because we're going to do it God's way. It's not fancy prayers that change people's lives. It's when we come into covenant with Jesus. And we say, Jesus, we're going to eat this bread. We're going to drink this wine together. So I want people that can distribute the stuff quickly. I want you to quickly help us. At the back, everybody, I want you to be seated. I want you to pray with somebody quickly while we just wait. Because what we're going to do is we're going to say to God, God, we're going to do a bit of repentance around the blood and the body of Christ. If there's certain areas in your life that you feel ashamed of, that you feel like, whoa, this is too tough for me, I want you to be accountable. Because that's why we have small groups. That's why we have accountability partners. Because we walk in the light. We don't give the devil any foothold in our lives. If you don't belong to a small group, I want to say, please do so for your own sake. Because why? You need to walk in the light. If we walk in the light and confess our sins to one another, then the blood of Jesus Christ comes in and heals us. We need to be accountable
to people around us. So quickly, I want all the ushers to walk through. I want you to keep your bread, keep your wine, keep your juice. Can we just sing a worship song, James? While we just wait for this moment. Has everybody at the back got bread and wine? Have you guys got bread and wine? Just raise your hand if you didn't. Okay, there's still lots of people there. So just keep your hands raised until people come around to give you some bread and wine. As we're going to just spend this moment in worship. I don't want anybody here to pray. Because this is like serious stuff. It's only the blood of Jesus that can break it. It's not fancy prayers. And then we're going to anoint you. We're going to say yes to God. Can we get some more ushers just to come and help you in front and get some bread and wine as we just worship God? Thank you, Jesus.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance. My enemies, to all my fears, gone.
You unravel me.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. But I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. My mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no
want to see, is there anybody that still needs bread or wine? Okay, lots of people here in front. Ushers, will you just come to the front as well? Some bread in front here. I want you guys to be serious. The scripture says we must, as often as we eat the bread and drink the wine. There's two sacraments that Jesus has brought into the church. And that is left in the church is baptism, immersion, and communion. And tonight we're coming back to that spiritual birthright. That's why I'm telling you, get baptized. And I'm telling you, take communion. You don't need to pray about it. You do communion because we celebrate Jesus' death. And it's such a celebration. But tonight we're going to bring our fears. Tonight we're going to bring our cycles of slavery. And we're going to say, Jesus, break it right here. Through your blood, through your body. Jesus is going to deliver some of us tonight. We should not be afraid of that. I'm still waiting for that guy with the anger. Where are you? I want you to come. I want you to come. The lady has come, but I want the guy to come still. There's a battle a bit inside of you. We want to pray for you. So I want you to come quickly. So Jesus, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for your freedom. We thank you for your release. Anybody that still needs bread, will you just raise your hand if you still need bread? There's some people in front here. And some block here on this side. I'm sorry I caused all the chaos, but I repent. But we're going to see lives changed because of what we're doing tonight. We're stepping into covenant with Jesus. All the ushers are running around frantically because, chaos. But some people, keep your hands raised until you get some bread or wine. All the ushers at the back, come to the front, just quickly help them. Some wine here in front, some... Okay, we can even share. So if you're standing next to somebody that has, say, we're going to share... Some of the bread is a bit small, so you're going to need to trust God for multiplication for that piece, but we're going to... We still need a bread. We still need a wine. Just come here, ushers, quickly. Come to the front here. There's some people. Okay, what are we going to do now? I want you to take that piece of bread, and I want you to pray after me. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight... Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, I come back to your principles of covenant. I thank you that it is finished. This piece of bread reminds me of your promises. I thank you that through your body, I am healed. I'm set free. I can walk in your fullness. And as I eat this, I celebrate your death till you come. So let's eat together. I want you to take that cup. Say, Jesus, tonight, I thank you for your blood. I am washed by your blood. I am cleansed by your blood. I am free by your blood. Thank you that the devil and this world has got no hold on me. Thank you that your blood has conquered death. Death has no sting. Slavery has no sting. Sin has no sting. I will only be a son and a daughter of the living God. I celebrate your death and your resurrection tonight. Let's drink together. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. If there's anything you need to repent of now, just where you're standing, just repent it to God. Say, God, I'm sorry. Anything that the Holy Spirit lays on your heart. Everybody, just close your eyes. Just where you're standing, just where you're sitting. Sorry, God, that sometimes we make you too small. Sometimes we try to control you. But tonight, Lord, we thank you that you break every eating disorder. Thank you that you break every cycle of pornography. Everything, Lord, that makes us not being sanctified unto you. Washed, cleansed, justified. Because we have an inheritance. Thank you that tonight, Lord, we're setting people apart for their spiritual birthright and their inheritance. We're sealing them. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll wrap yourself around them. And that you put that seal on them. So we're going to sing a worship song with the people at the back. Will you stand with us? And what we're going to do is we're going to anoint people right now. We're not going to pray fancy prayers. We're going to just anoint you. Say, God, she's sealed. He's sealed. The promise of God. He's got a spiritual birthright. And tonight we set him apart for that. We sanctify him unto you. We sanctify her. We consecrate him unto you. It's powerful what we're doing. We're saying, God, this body, this person belongs to Christ. And if you're not baptized, go and do that, because then you sanctify yourself unto Jesus. Say, Jesus, I set myself. Romans 6 says it. And Colossians 2 says it. I sanctify myself now unto God to live a holy life. Hallelujah. Let's just take oil as we... I want some of us just, maybe we must just kneel. If you're in front and there's cycles over your life, just kneel before God, and we're gonna just ask God for his anointing to break every yoke. Jesus, thank you. Even if you're still standing at the back, if you need to go, then go. But please, nobody talks in this place right now. I don't want anybody to talk about any stuff except if you talk about Jesus. If you talk to him. Or if you're praying for somebody else. There's some of us here that have never committed ourselves for a spiritual legacy and to disciple other people. I want you to come out. We're going to anoint you as well. I want you to come and stand right here in front. Because you're so afraid that you have nothing to give. But the same Jesus that rose from the dead is in your life. You've got lots to give. So if you've been robbed from a spiritual legacy to pass on to other people, or just a blessing, then I want you to come, because we're going to anoint you. I'm going to say, God, we refuse that this person is going to die without discipling the nations. That's our inheritance. I want you to come, because we need to anoint you. Maybe if you guys can just stand a little bit to that side.